Hey, it's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington, and Brady Quinn. And coming up on the show, there's a lot to get to from around the world of football, specifically the NFL. What do we make of that battle on Sunday Night Football as Aaron Rodgers gets a little bit of revenge? Is there trouble brewing for the Kansas City Chiefs? Are the Raiders frauds? And we've got stories from the road. Well, kind of. We're going to twist his arm. We're going to try and get the truth about how it all went down in Chicago for Notre Dame's big win. Brady Quinn was there, and you will be here coming up next here. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe alongside that guy, Brady Quinn. It's myself, Jonas Knox, and LeVar Arrington here on FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Somebody tried to warn you this was going to happen in the NFL, and we will tell you who that is coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington. It's Brady Quinn. It's Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio. You can hang out with us, as always, on the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates wherever you are, making us a part of your Monday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We're going to take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 gosh. O'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Coming in.
LeVar Arrington is doing his Vince McMahon impersonation.
Fire!
So if you ever hear this throughout the course of the show, you're fired! LeVar is on one on a Monday morning.
Coming in hot, Brady.
I love it, though. I love it.
Oh, my God.
He's fired up. I barely have a voice after this past weekend, so we'll see how today goes.
And rightfully so. Yeah. Golden Domer showed up.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that it was so much about the game, let alone Chicago afterwards. Chicago's undefeated, by the way. I'm not talking about the Bears.
Not
the Bears.
No, the place.
Chicago, the city. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm so jealous of that. Like, you said a whole lot with so little.
It pisses me off.
I'm a tad bit. For you, Brady. Good for you.
It's good for him. Screw him. Why couldn't we go?
I can go into my mental Rolodex of memories and experiences. Good for you, Brady. Yeah.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it, guys. I really do. I did miss you, though. And by the way, I'll keep saying this everywhere we go. People keep talking about this show. There's a lot to talk about today, but I did miss you out there.
All right.
Now, when they're talking about this show, what specifically are they talking about?
LeVar, and that guy.
That James guy.
Who's that guy? Yeah. He's pretty good. Where'd you guys find out? What's with the wiggle your ears? What's with that line?
I mean, listen, nobody rides coattails like I do. I've told it. I'm not ashamed of it. I will continue to ride
same,
you guys'
bro.
Coattails.
I'm
out
on
here.
Brady's.
Yeah,
oh,
tell me.
Stop. Like a mug.
Yeah, that's yes. All right. So somebody on this show was trying to tell people, and I believe it was LeVar, and I thought this was ridiculous, that LeVar was trying to say on Friday. Remember this, Brady? LeVar was trying to say that maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are looking ahead to next week because they've got that big matchup with the Patriots in Foxborough.
I didn't say that.
That sounded more like the person was formerly Chucky at Chuck E. Cheese. It sounded like it was that individual.
I did not say that.
In all seriousness, though, man, did the Rams whoop that ass. That was an ugly, ugly game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. And Matt Stafford and company were dealing. They were throwing deep. And it looked like everything we kept hearing about as far as the ceiling for this team with Matt Stafford playing at a high level, it played out in L.A. yesterday.
I will say I did say the L.A. Rams are the best team in the NFC West. I do believe I recall saying that.
It's debatable.
I don't know that it's debatable after yesterday. You can take it, Brady, but I'm just saying, I just thought I'd make sure I led into this with what you're saying. We'll just be clear that retrospectively, I do believe I said that the Rams are. Now, there were a lot of questions surrounding them, of course, with their running back situation, some questions along the offensive front. But I said their defense is phenomenal. And if Matthew Stafford can bring what he brings to the table like people think he can, they'd be a pretty serious team. I think we learned a lot yesterday.
They're the best team in the NFL right now. Mm. I don't think you can look at it any other way based on what they've done so far. And last night was an example of, you know, look, they're the best team in the NFL right now. The question is, because we saw this happen last year, okay? the Saints blew out the Bucs twice. True. And then when it mattered most, Tom Brady and the Bucs.
Right.
That's what I'm more concerned by. Like, I don't know how you guys feel. When I see a team that feels like they're already peaking and it's week three in the NFL, or they look that good and it's week three, I'm thinking, well, it can only go down from here. Like, they can only suffer more injuries. They can only have, you know, those ebbs and flows of, okay, what is this offense going to look like with Matt Stafford? How is it going to be different? Eventually, defenses will adjust. So that's more of my concern, I think, with the Rams is they are the best team in the NFL right now. But will that be the case for the rest of the season? Probably not.
I think that defense is too impressive to not hold them in that high of esteem. If the offense is having a rough day, that defense travels. And they have so many players. And you can see, you know, the one thing you can see with this Rams, team as a whole, is they got a nasty attitude. They have a nasty mentality. You can tell they're just some arrogant SOBs about what they do on that field. And I love it. I love it. You can tell along the defensive front, they give zero Fs. You could tell in the linebacking corps, zero Fs. Secondary, way more zero Fs. And now you're seeing guys emerge from the receiving corps. You know, you would have thought Kupp would have been doing something. We had a DeSean Jackson. We had the DeSean Jackson spotting. I mean, he had a major play, big play during the course of this game. And Matthew Stafford delivered in the clutch. That's all I really needed to know. That's what I really needed to see. Could Matthew Stafford be big in a big game? Because he had not been in big games so much in Detroit. Maybe a couple here and there. My bad. And I know Perfetti is in here right
listen,
now. Maybe not so much in Detroit, but this was as big a game as he's been in his career, and he's stepped up.
I mean, can we wait until hour two before we perform an autopsy on the Lions while they're still breathing?
I mean, are they still breathing?
I mean, because Justin Tucker just knifed them yesterday in Detroit.
Are they still breathing?
Hey, what do you think DeSean Jackson runs a 40 in right now? Right now, what do you think he runs a 40 in? Sub 4.5?
I will put DeSean Jackson throughout the rest of his life as the fastest player in the NFL at his age. I've never seen a guy who gets behind.
Green.
I'm just saying,
Green is a fast dude still.
I'll put him up against anyone because I think DeSean Jackson at 77 is still getting behind a secondary.
Wait a second. Wait, can we get covered? Is Darryl Green 77 years old?
I was being funny.
Jesus.
Okay. I played with D. Green. I mean, he played 20 years or so, 20 or more, but I played with D. Green. But D. Green probably still runs a 4.440 right now.
All right, so it was yesterday more about the L.A. Rams who came in just playing at a high level and the best team in the league, or did Tampa Bay show something that maybe we should be concerned with?
I thought Todd Bowles' defense got a little exposed.
A little exposed.
I mean, if there's not a pass rush, that secondary is going to struggle.
Yeah, that became evident. You know, I don't think that they were the biggest team in question yesterday. I thought that was Kansas City.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, looking at the Tampa Bay game, I got to be honest with you. I don't get major concerns about Tampa Bay this early in the season. If they take a loss, they take a loss. That's just where I'm at with them. They were competitive. Tom Brady did some good things. He did some not so good things. I mean, that's you generally expect Tom Brady-led teams to start off slow. Early season, they might not come out as red hot as people may expect or want them to be. So for me, I don't look at this as an indictment on them in terms of what their season's going to be. As Brady mentioned earlier, they took some ass kickings early on from New Orleans last season.
Yep.
You know, there was a point, if people recall, there was a point in time where they were like, is Bruce Arians and Tom Brady on the same page? They seem to be, you know, having their differences, and Bruce Arians said this, had this to say about Tom Brady, and da-da-da. Man, look here, and all they did was keep going, keep improving as the season went on, and we know how it all ended. So I don't look at Tampa as one of those teams where I'd say right now I would have any any type of trepidation about what their success level will be moving forward.
And also, they lost to the Rams last year, if you remember. That was Jared Goff at the Jared Goff era with the LA Rams, which, by the way, I still feel bad for him. Like, every time I see the Rams do something good and people think, man, this team, they're a legitimate Super Bowl team, I still feel bad for Jared Goff.
Why? Just
think, because I think Sean McVay threw him under the bus.
Man, how many Super Bowls you playing, Brady?
None.
Me too. He's collectively between the two of us. He has more Super Bowl. And you, how many did you go to?
None.
Okay, so he's got more Super Bowl appearances than all of us.
Yeah.
Put together.
Yeah.
I don't feel sorry for him.
So you don't feel because he made a Super Bowl. Okay.
Yes.
That's interesting.
I get what he's saying, but let me just say this. As beautiful as that stadium was, and I was proud of the LA fan base. Like, they showed up,
they showed out.
It was loud. It seemed like it was a great environment. There's just one thing wrong, okay? For as beautiful as the stadium as it is, if those receivers have to look back up into the ceiling or into the roof of the building, it seems like there's a bit of an issue finding the football.
Mm.
And I don't know if it was on Deshaun. I think it was a throw downfield to Deshaun Jackson. There was a couple times where you could tell they were having a hard time locating the football off the ceiling or off the roof.
Mm.
So that's going to be something to keep an eye on moving forward. As beautiful as the stadium is, I don't know that they took into account
how sunny it is, huh?
Yeah, the way it's shaped and how the ball looks coming down. It looked like it was a little bit of an issue last night.
Or they're going to have to get used to doing it, and then that gives them a home field advantage. I mean,
true,
you know,
true.
However you want to take it, but listen. When you look at Tampa and you look at how this game went, you know, the one thing that I'll say is, yes, they did beat them last year, but last year was the beginning. That was an introductory period for Tom Brady to Tampa and Tampa to Tom Brady, and this ushering in of a new era of mentality. This is a different season. You got that season under your belt. You're the returning world champions. You knocked off the juggernaut of Kansas City in the Super Bowl. You brought everyone back. Everyone, yep. Coaching staff and players, yep. Personnel, everyone's back. And you played against a team that lost double digits in coaching staff that has moved on. They lost both their running backs. They lost their center. They have dealt with injuries. And they came out there and they played well. So to me, I think that this is more about the Rams in this situation than it is about Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay is a legitimate, formidable, perennial contender. That was not fluky, and it was so much grit in that game, and the way that they were able to methodically move up and down the field, the way they were able to execute on defense, they out-toughed them, they outsmarted them, and they outplayed them. And that's different. That's different than last year. So you got to actually look at this Rams team, and you got to ask yourself the question that Brady posed earlier. Are they peaking, or is this their regular ascent to where it is that they're going? If this is an ascent and them not getting close to like a place where you're like, okay, they're hitting they're leveling off, it's pretty scary what this team could possibly be.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on Fox Sports Radio. We are brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. Whoever you root for, whatever sport you love to watch, the biggest games are even bigger in Vegas. So make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. All right, so coming up next, there is a disastrous situation in the NFL involving a coach and a quarterback. We will get into that for you next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Very observant. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up in, we'll call it 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we get a little bit of revenge in the NFL. Somebody got some revenge on a big-time stage. We will have that for you here on FSR. So, listen, I'm not trying to be negative this early in the morning. That's
yes,
the last thing I want to do.
That's your qualifier.
Yeah.
There you go.
The Chicago Bears are a diaper fire. That they are the armpit fart of football. I cannot even begin to laugh hard enough.
Are they the worst team in the NFL right now?
No, but they're the most fun. As far as making fun of, like they're the most enjoyable to make fun of. And they're the easiest because it is just a disaster. You could literally go back in time since 1920 at any point and say the same thing, and it would apply to every single Bears team every single season.
Wow.
You know, if they could just score enough points, I think this team could win a lot of games. There should be a study done on how a team can continuously figure it out on defense for the most part and never figure it out on offense.
I have a question for Brady. Looking at that game yesterday, now we had a whole lot of conversation, and there's been a lot of conversations in the sports world about how you go about handling the Dalton and Fields situation. Now, everybody's high on Justin Fields. I get all that. But was there a little bit of validation, a little bit of reprieve, a little bit of kind of, okay, Nagy, like maybe you have it a little bit more figured out than what people are giving you credit for. Justin Fields was not ready to be the starter as it applied to now. Granted, you can say let him take his bumps and bruises, but as it applied, would you say that Andy Dalton, if healthy, were in the game, did he give them a better chance of winning against Cleveland than what Justin Fields did yesterday?
I mean, I would say so. I think you always find that, for whatever reason, we don't give coaches the benefit of the doubt in regards to this sort of personnel decision. When they've watched Justin Fields since they drafted him, you know, they had a draft report on him. I was able to talk to a couple of scouts at the game, and I happened to just throw out that question to them because we were in Chicago, and they were playing the Browns, a former team that I'm always keeping tabs on. And their response was, look, this was a guy who needed to sit and watch. And I felt the same way in the sense of, from a mental aspect, what we saw in preseason. You know, you could tell he was going to struggle with what a defense was doing out there. I thought at times, you know, he struggled throughout his career, whether it was, you know, Wisconsin when they had played them, Indiana, Clemson the first time around. I think you saw some of those things where he struggled to identify what the defense was doing. And I think Matt Nagy, without being negative towards Justin, was saying that all along by saying Andy Dalton's our starter. Andy Dalton's our starter when healthy. He's trying to give you that message to say, like, Andy gives us the best chance of winning because not because he doesn't have the athleticism, but he's got the mental capacity to handle the issues that we're dealing with on our O-line. Now, the issues that they're dealing with protection, that relates directly back to Matt Nagy, right? He moved on from an offensive coordinator a couple years ago, and Mark Helfrich made him the scapegoat. He moved on from Harry Hiestand, who, ask Dave Deal, ask any offensive lineman, all the Notre Dame studs that he coached, ask any of those guys how they feel about Harry Hiestand. He's got a remarkable reputation in the NFL as an O-line coach. So I don't know what the disconnect was there. You know, Mark Helfrich is viewed as one of the more better offensive minds. So I don't know what the disconnect was, but clearly those guys became fall guys for what was a drop off from a 12-4 season to, you know, 500 the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. And now the issue they face is I don't think they can claw their way back because what was supposed to be this offensive guru, this offensive genius in Matt Nagy has never displayed itself after the first year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, look, there's been nothing but scapegoats, and we talked about it before. You know, they go 12-4 the first season, and then Cody Parkey gets a kick tipped and blocked in the playoff game, and the entire offseason was about, well, we got to replace that kicker because that was the problem. He was a scapegoat. They go 8-8 the next year, and you mentioned it. They fired a bunch of assistants. Those guys were the scapegoat. Then Mitch Trubisky was the scapegoat. Like, offensively, they've gotten worse and worse and worse under Matt Nagy. And I just I asked the question to myself, how did he get the job? Like what, because he called half a season of plays for Kansas City? Like that's, I mean, like what are we talking about? Like what was his reputation coming into this, and how all of a sudden did he get the job? Or is this just another one of those, it worked with Sean McVay and the Rams, so everybody was looking for that young offensive mind and they thought Matt Nagy was going to be the next dude?
I mean, it's always going to be a shuffle and a kind of a tossing of the dice for players and for coaches. New players, new coaches. You just sometimes – you just don't know what you're going to get. You may get lightning in a bottle, and they can be a Sean McVay. You know, or sometimes you, more often than not, just like with players, they're not going to live up to the potential. They're not going to achieve at the level. It's very difficult. I was making fun, making a joke of it, making light of it, but we never played in a Super Bowl. You know, and how difficult it is to have success at the pro level is it's pretty ridiculous how much goes into being able to pull it all together and get everybody going in the right direction. And so when you think about what type of task it is for a head coach to take over and do what it is that they're going to do, you know, that's why you see so many retreads. It's like, why do you see the same coaches being circulated over and over and over again? And a lot of times people say, oh, it's cronyism. You know, people don't believe in giving, you know, other people opportunities. Maybe that has something to do with it. Some people say it's nepotism. Some of that may have something to do with it. But let's be clear here. It's really about comfort level in terms of how your organization is going to be ran by this one figure in particular. And there's just a lot that goes to that. And very many, they fail. And even if you have some success, some good success, it takes one season to have a lack of success unless you've established that you're a winner and probably a winner for that organization. And you still might be on the hot seat. So I just think that the window of opportunity to have success at the pro level is very difficult. And once you're taking the other, I guess, you know, conditions or other factors involved, like how well is the organization ran. I'm not really up on the Chicago Bears if they're dysfunctional in the front office, but that probably is the singular major biggest issue that coaches and players run into more often than not when teams are seemingly struggling and can't seem to overcome that, Brady.
I think there can't be a disconnect. I mean, we kind of talked about the in-vogue thing back when they hired Matt Nagy was find that next young offensive mind. And for whatever reason, you know, Matt Nagy was given that tag. You know, Doug Peterson was given that tag, but he did turn out to win a Super Bowl in play calling. So it seemed justified. But the one thing that I think hurts them, even though they kind of fell off since that point, is I don't know that, you know, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace always are seeing eye to eye. Maybe they are, maybe we're not. Only we know behind closed doors what's going on. But I think there's a disconnect, at least in, you know, how Nagy's going to handle the team, which has been its own issue. And then there's been some misses. But I would just say this. I think now that we're far enough down the road, and I'm not saying that Mitchell Trubisky didn't play, you know, I'm not saying he played his best football and it was all on the team. It wasn't him. He struggled at times. He did. But I don't know that Matt Nagy really played and worked to his strengths. And I think that's one of the issues that I see with this Bears offense is if you're going to take Justin Fields, you should essentially be talking to Ryan Day at Ohio State. It's saying, give me your playbook. Let me run this so that I can, or at least 80%, 70% of this, and let me do this so I can ensure that Justin Fields knows day one our offense of what we're going to do. I think even though Matt Nagy's younger, I think in his mind, what he's asking Justin Fields to do is an old school mindset where they're saying, no, we drafted you. You come in, you sit, you watch and adapt to what we do. If that's going to be the case, so be it. but he hasn't had time to be able to sit and watch long enough behind Andy Dalton. And now he's thrust into play, and it's going to look ugly because he's still learning this new offense. You know, it's not the Ryan Day Ohio State offense. And that's what I think a lot of players who've been able to adjust rather quickly in the NFL, they've been able to do so because they implemented more of that college offense into the pro game.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can. Brought to you by NHTSA. All right, so coming up 12 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we are going to get inside information. We're going to find out all the juicy details of the place to be in the world of football over the weekend from one member of this show. God, I wonder who that is. I wonder who we're teasing here when we talk about the place to be in the world of football this weekend. You know, when you see all the shenanigans that were taking place on a Saturday afternoon. But we'll get all that stuff here coming up 12 minutes from now.
I'm waiting for a FaceTime.
That's all I want.
We could do it, too. Like, yeah. Is your phone an Apple phone?
Yeah.
Okay. Brady, you have an Apple phone?
Yeah.
I do.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I do.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, some people disable their FaceTime when they go on the road. You know what I mean? Like, the reception isn't good enough for your FaceTime to work.
You do that one too, huh?
I've heard that's happened before.
You do that one too, huh?
I don't know. I don't know anything. I've heard that reception can be really bad, very poor, and the connection just doesn't
happen. Especially in some of those college towns. But Chicago is just fine. Yeah.
They don't have Ubers, Lyfts, taxis, or FaceTime.
Like you get in whatever car you can to get home. You know what I mean?
Man.
Yeah. I hear you.
I hope your phone rings where you can just use the phone regularly.
That's a good
not
point.
Using a FaceTime.
A true statement, too. It was cold on those streets at one point this past week.
Oh.
Yeah. It was actually cold. It felt like it was like in the 50s or something.
Oh, man. Oh, you're talking literally.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, literally. Sorry.
I thought we was in figurative mode, you know. Like,
No.
Because you got to bundle up when it's cold out there in the streets.
Oh, man.
The streets. You got to bundle up.
Hey, you think Aaron Rodgers feels better about his matchups with the 49ers recently? He beat him last year. Now he beat him again on Sunday Night Football. I actually was surprised that game was that close. It felt like Green Bay was going to run away with it, especially early on because Rodgers was dealing. And next thing you know, you look up and now they need Mason Crosby to kick a 50-plus yard field goal to win that game on the road. Interesting game. I thought Green Bay would have run away with it, but thank God, I didn't bet on it. That's not my thing. Not really much of a gambler there. So Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers and company now 2-1 after that ugly loss to open up the season against New Orleans. He told everybody to calm down. You guys were making fun of him, and I backed Aaron Rodgers. I said, listen, you guys got to relax, man. Everything's going to be okay, and here we are. The Green Bay Packers are back, baby. The Packers are back, Brady Quinn. How you feel about that?
They're back, and I think that the biggest thing about it was for me is they were able to go on the road and get a win very early on, and look early. The one decision I think I would question with Matt LaFleur was I think he had the opportunity to kick a field goal after the interception. They would have been up like I think 20-7 at one point, but then once they didn't get those downs, I thought they gave a little momentum back. That was the only questionable call because I think if you get points there. Then it kind of sets the tone for the rest of it, and they take all that momentum. So that was the only thing that I think was questionable throughout the game because I was with you. I was watching it thinking they're going to blow them out. And then it seemed like the momentum swung back towards San Francisco, let them back in the game, not taking a field goal. I know it's only a field goal, and I get it. You go 4 on 4th down, you get it, you score a touchdown, it's even worse. But I also think you have to remember like where you're at. You were in San Francisco. That's the first home game they had in almost a year. So you didn't need to allow that crowd to get back into it. I think that was the only questionable thing that really happened for Green Bay.
Hmm. I thought San Francisco found their run game, and that turned the tide a little bit, grabbed them the momentum when they were able to start kind of asserting themselves on those long drives. I thought Green Bay did an excellent job of answering what San Francisco was doing. You know, my biggest question mark was the way San Francisco played defense on that last drive. Like, I don't understand why they had their defensive backs playing prevent when they only needed 3 points to win the game.
Yeah.
That was a little strange to me. I always subscribe to do what got you there. Don't go away from that, especially in a close one. and the way these kickers are kicking these days, they might be able to kick from the other side of the logo pretty soon. So I just don't think that you're ever safe. You got to keep playing defense. But, you know, the one thing about that, before I talk about the game more, I think the one thing that I thought was very interesting, and I don't know if you guys caught it, I generally push mute on the color commentating unless it's like my guys doing it. But I happened to listen last night. Did you guys listen to how much Al Michaels talked about? Like, these are game-winning drives. Like Garoppolo is on a game-winning drive. Aaron Rodgers is on a game-winning drive. And all Al Michaels was talking about is, yeah, well, you know, Trey Lance is over there on the sideline. He's one of their draft picks. He's the heir apparent. You got Jordan Love on the other side. And he talked for about literally maybe the entire San Francisco drive and part of the Green Bay Packer drive, not about the greatness of what's going on with Garoppolo, not about what's going on with Aaron Rodgers and what he's doing to take them down the field. It was a narrative of the heir apparent being on the team. I found that to be a tad bit peculiar.
Yeah.
Because just like and Brady, you could probably speak a little bit better to this, but I know doing TV they put in your ear what it is that's relevant to talk about and to discuss, because there it didn't even seem like it fit the moment that he was doing that. So it made me wonder, like, what was the agenda behind talking about the heir apparents while game-winning drives were going on?
I have a theory.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, we might need some music for that.
Need some music to this?
We might need some conspiracy theory there, LeVar.
Yeah, we need some conspiracy music for that one.
I'll tell you exactly what's going on. And we do have a live studio band in here with us on Fox Sports Radio. Big-time morning shows get big-time guests, and our live studio band playing the soundtrack to Unsolved Mysteries.
I love it.
Here's my conspiracy theory.
Uh-oh.
I think Al Michaels was talking about the heir apparent at times when it felt awkward last night, because he knows there's been a lot of rumblings about his heir apparent being Mike Tirico and Drew Brees taking over for Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels pretty soon. And I think that was his little dig at all the rumors that are out there. Because Al
Michaels, what you're saying is, while they're winning games.
Yes.
Yeah.
And doing what they're supposed to do.
Bet your ass.
You guys are behind the scenes talking S about how you're going to replace us with these guys.
And also, it's not like Al Michaels has lost his fastball. He's still him and Collinsworth are still fantastic.
I like them together.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Didn't we get Collinsworth to call in this morning and leave a little drop for us?
I mean, I got to tell you, like, I don't know what Al's gambling on, but if I were Al, I'd gamble on Tirico and Breeze in the booth next year. Golly. Listen.
You're fired.
There's been a lot of rumblings about that possibly being the case.
That's interesting.
And he's the heir apparent there. And so people are wondering, all right, when's this move going to be made? And, you know, so maybe Al.
Did
Michaels
you hear the
was...
slight flex Collinsworth hit him with yesterday they were talking about the two when San Francisco won in the Super Bowls, as they were talking about Bill Walsh and how the quarterbacks still use Bill Walsh's principles and stuff like that? And he was like, you know, do you remember that? I was asking Collinsworth, like, I'm sure you have fond memories of Bill Walsh. And he flexed on him like, two of them, you know, one of them, you know, was – they beat us in the Super Bowl. And you had to stop and really think back to the fact that Chris Collinsworth was a dope receiver in the National Football League.
And fast out of Florida.
How about that?
Yeah. And he was a burner. He was a speedster.
But I also, by the way, real quick, I think it's a compliment to a broadcaster where you view them now as the guy who calls
you don't
the
even
game.
Remember him as a
you
player.
You don't remember.
I agree with that.
Because you've done it long enough, and you're so good at what you do. Like, and it works also, by the way, like with Herb Street. You know, Kirk Herb Street didn't have the greatest college career, but he made himself so big in broadcasting that's how kids view him.
Todd
they don't
Blackledge.
Look up his stat lines.
Yeah.
Todd Blackledge,
yeah.
Who, by the way, was a really good college player.
He's a champ.
Yeah,
he's national champ.
And he was a good pro, but again, now people identify him as, you know, a
commentator.
Broadcast.
Yeah, broadcast. Yeah. I love that too, by the way. I think I'm too big and too black to ever become that guy that walks around,
man.
And they're like, hey, you're the radio guy
that never
played any sport.
Like, listen, same
you know
for
I mean?
Me, man.
I'll never get that. You know, I'll be at the you know gas station and it'll be like, hey, who do you play for? I'm like, man, do you see my belly? Well, what are you talking about? Who do you play for?
It is two pros and a cup of Joe. That's LeVar Arrington. Hey. That's LeVar Arrington.
Too many cups of Joe.
He's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is FSR. Coming up next, we're going to get the juicy details from the place to be over the weekend in the world of football. It's yours next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR.
Yeah!
I hope not. There's a compilation of Vince McMahon saying you're fired on YouTube, and LeVar almost spit out his coffee.
I did
multiple
it's
times.
It's really good.
It's just
I wasn't even up on it until you did it.
I think that's my best impression. Like I don't do a lot of great ones, but I think
your Collinsworth is pretty good.
It's okay.
I want to hear the other guy, the baseball guy,
Brian Gumbel.
Not Brian Harry Gumbel.
Carey. Yeah, Harry Carey.
Little Harry Carey.
Come on, let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
Two on, two out. Cubs tied at two apiece. Deuces are wild, Wrigley. Ground ball to Arrington. Throw the legs. Hi.
it's so good.
It's just this is a true story. I had a buddy who went to Wrigley Field back when Harry Carey was still alive, and he would do the seventh inning stretch. And he said that he could see from where he was sitting at Wrigley Field that Harry Carey was waving the mic, you know, through the press box at the fans doing the seventh inning stretch. There was a guy behind him holding his belt so he didn't fall out of the press box. they didn't trust him, whether it was the booze or the age, because Harry Carey would get after it a little bit. I mean, I don't know how many broadcasters are actually sponsored by Budweiser, but the old Bud Man and a Cub fan. The great Harry Carey.
Nice.
Rest in peace. By the way, I know. I see the weather looks nice today, Alibar.
I don't know about the weather looking nice, man. It's it's too early. It's 3:53.
Yeah. It's a little early here on Monday
morning. But the TV
morning.
Is bright, yes. And the weather looks to be
sure
like
does.
It's going to be good today.
I agree.
Yes.
We are going to get some stories from the road as we live vicariously through Brady Quinn here coming up. I want to make sure we got full time for this.
I kind of want to hear it, and I kind of don't want to hear it.
You have to.
I want to enjoy it, and I kind of not want
to
enjoy it.
I'm with LeVar. I don't really have – there's never really a ton you can tell on radio.
I want to appreciate you telling us what you wouldn't say on radio, but at the same time, I would love to hate on you after the fact.
I mean,
okay.
But then appreciate you all at the same time.
I think Brady showed a sort of discipline that I don't think I would be capable of.
No, I doubt that.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be capable of.
Yeah, I don't think you have to exercise discipline when you're Brady Quinn or Jonas Knox.
Okay.
I think you just got to ride the wave.
By the way, when a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings, and if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train, stop. Trains can't. Brought to you by NHTSA. All right, so coming up next, we are going to get some stories from the road. Plus, is it the end of an era for one quarterback in the NFL? We'll get into all of that next here. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe and you right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.